And to avoid arrogance in front of truth, and to avoid defiance and not do evil. And if we determine to have total reliance on God, God the powerful one, God the all-knowing one, God the all-loving one, protection will be granted to us from shaitan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We turn to God and ask for His help and guidance and assistance, because A, He is Allah, the absolute perfect being, the source of all goodness. Therefore, none can hope to achieve any goodness or any perfection until and unless Allah wills it so. So we turn to Him. And B, we turn to Him because He is Rahman. We need to recognize and realize and feel this reality, that if we are alive, it's because of Allah's rahmah. If we continue to grow and thrive, it's because of Allah's love and mercy and rahmah. And therefore we turn to Him for guidance and help. And C, we turn to Him because He is Rahim. His mercy is unlimited. It is endless. It is boundless. If at all there is a problem, it is in us. How much can we take from Him? He is ready to give. But if our vessels which can receive are closed, or if our vessels which can receive are dirty, or if our vessels which can receive are turned away from Him, then there is no way that endless mercy can reach us. If we accept Him, if we believe in Him, if we submit to Him, if we determine to follow His will, we are increasing our capacity. We are turning our vessels to Him, and we are increasing our capacity to receive more mercy from Him. In my first khutbah, I would like to quote a passage from one of the sermons of the first holy Imam recorded in the Nahj al-Balagha. Imam says, Alhamdulillah, الذي لا يشغله شأن عن شأن ولا يحويه مكان ولا يغيره زمان ولا يصفه لسان. Praise be to God, the one who in His absolute perfection is such that He is so limitless, so boundless, that simultaneously He can perform all the tasks without one task blocking the ability to perform the other. He can listen to all prayers, even if they are in different languages, even if they are not spoken, even if they are just thoughts. And He can respond simultaneously beyond the imagination of the seekers. لا يشغله شأن عن شأن. Not only does He attend to the creatures, but He attends to the rest of the creation simultaneously. That's how absolute He is. We praise Him. And we praise Him because لا يحويه مكان. Whatever we know, whoever is great and worthy of praise, finally, He is material and therefore bounded. But Allah is non-material and unbounded, and therefore He alone deserves praise. وَلَا يُغَيِّرُهُ زَمَانٍ. Whichever other entity we may turn to and praise and like and appreciate their beauty or their power or whatever beautiful quality they may have. But finally, يُغَيِّرُهُ زَمَانٍ. As time comes, they change. Because again, they are material entities and therefore they are bound by time. Except He, who is non-material, and therefore who is above time, and therefore is unchanging and immutable, inasmuch as He was absolute before the creation. With the creation, nothing has been added to Him. When the creation dies, nothing is subtracted from Him. Immutable. And therefore He alone deserves praise. And finally, وَلَا يَصِفُهُ لِسَانٍ. No tongue, with whatever intellectual capacity it may have, can ever describe Him fully, because no tongue can be motivated by the right mind, limited mind, to understand the unlimited being. And therefore, the best praise, فَأَشْكَرُ الشَّاكِرُ أَعْجَزُهُمْ. The most thankful of all the thankful creatures is he who submits and confesses, I cannot praise you. You are what you are. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Community of believers, I remind you as I remind myself about the necessity of observing taqwa. I recommend to you, in case we claim that, oh, we don't forget God, then I recommend to you, because God is all perfect and because the distance between us and Him is unlimited and therefore the chance for us to improve is ever available, therefore I recommend to you, in case you do remember Him, strive for higher levels of taqwa as much as I recommend myself. And thirdly, in case ever we have the temptation to disobey, I command you, as I command myself, as my aql commands my nafs, aql which has accepted there is a God, aql which has accepted that He has sent a book, aql which has accepted the fact that the prophets were the best examples and the imams, all of whom have instructed with authority that you must observe taqwa, otherwise remember His power to punish cannot be escaped. I would like to quote one very important, refer to one very important effect of taqwa. 2 days ago, 9th of August, the Americans dropped a bomb. It was a devastating bomb, a bomb that killed 140,000+ people. It was the atomic bomb I'm referring to. 61 years ago, on the 6th of August, first, on Hiroshima, on the 8th of August, 1945, in Nagasaki, two atomic bombs were dropped. If we can dramatize and imagine the effect, let us say you are in Hiroshima in the morning. It's a clear sky. Incidentally, the city was chosen because the weather indicated the sky is clear and there's no cloud. It's a clear sky. Children are going to school. Fathers are going to their business. Mothers are probably going for shopping. Old people and grandparents are just strolling around. 8 o'clock in the morning, in the clear blue sky, appears an aircraft. In fact, there were three aircrafts. But the Japanese army did not take it seriously because no bombing raid can be conducted by a single aircraft. So it was ignored. No alert was given. It came over the city. It circled. Within 10 minutes, around the city center, about 600 meters above the ground, a bomb was released and detonated. The result of which was three things. Number one, there was a huge flash of light. Whenever an explosion takes place, three things happen. One, the release of energy is in the form of light. Light travels the fastest. Second is the sound blast. And third is the energy release. When you see an aircraft crossing the sound barrier, you'll see the aircraft first, and then you'll hear the sound. Sound travels slower than light. The first effect, the dazzling flash of light, which was more powerful than several suns put together. If you happen to watch, if you watch at the sun with the naked eye, it's dangerous. With this artificial release of light, there were people who were blinded instantly. No. When that sound energy was released, people vaporized instantly. It's not a question of burning. It's a question of disappearing altogether. And then, once the fireball descends and spreads fire and destruction with energy flowing at a high rate, you have death and destruction and buildings being uprooted and cars flying into the sky. End result, within a moment, 60 to 80,000 people dead in an instant. In an instant. The total number in Hiroshima is calculated to be around 140, and in Nagasaki 70,000 people dead. The American administration justified, they said that the only way to force the Japanese to surrender is to use this overwhelming force. So they said, we have a comparison to make. If we continue the conventional warfare, the number of people who will die will be much greater than if we use this bomb right now, then the number of people who die will be less. Who will challenge that sort of justification? Lakini, there was no taqwa. Kwa sababu, historical records later on show the Japanese were already about preparing to surrender. One. Two, even if they were not preparing to surrender, the human conscience cannot allow in a war where you've got an enemy who's got a military to fight that you go and kill innocent civilians. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they had innocent civilians. There was no military base there. There were no fighters there. In fact, there were Japanese-American even staying there. In fact, there were American prisoners of war also on that island. But when there is no taqwa, these considerations are no longer important. One. Two. So morally it was indefensible. Militarily it was not justifiable. And perhaps number three, the most devastating reason was there was no need. Unless the Americans were uncomfortable with the presence of the Russians on their side, and the Russians were gaining power, so a message had to be sent to the Russians, don't you play around with us. You want to show how dangerous we can be, observe Hiroshima and Nagasaki. When taqwa is missing, observe how human life becomes cheap. In one of the first, the first surah revealed to the Prophet, Surah Al-Alaq, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. Allah says, كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى. The problem with man is he knows no boundaries. When there is no taqwa to discipline him and control him, there is no boundary. The more stronger the weapon you give him, the more ready he is to use. أن رآه استغنى. You know why he does that? Because he feels he is invincible. He is unconquerable. It's the self. It's me. And I can do whatever I want. Because I don't think so there is any other power who can take me to account. Later on, after a few verses, Allah challenges, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Doesn't he realize that God watches and monitors and records everything? Let's pray to Allah to give us tawfiq to be able to observe taqwa all the time. Otherwise, the dangers are we will be able to use anything and everything within our reach to cause destruction. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.